Hello, everybody. Folks, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody here for the support you've been to VISPA over the past couple of years. The past couple of years at VISPA have been quite tough through lockdown, and they're only really coming out of lockdown this past year. And that lockdown was very, very hard on that community because they couldn't work. That community work hand to mouth, really. They do a day's work, they get a day's pay, they eat. That community couldn't work for that first few months of that. So your support through that and your support for the children was fantastic. And I'll show you some videos of the children thanking you for that. I'd love you to go and experience that yourself, the depth of gratitude they have for your support. But thank you for it, because it's been wonderful. Folks, before we share some details of the work that's been going on this past year and the work that's intended for this year, if you have your Bible there, could you turn to Isaiah chapter 9, please? Isaiah chapter 9. Just a few thoughts on Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. This is a passage that is often read at Christmas time, but there's a bit in it always sort of troubled me a wee bit for a number of reasons. One of the reasons being, we shouldn't be in helping in Kenya, you know, really. Kenya should be helped by its own government, its own society, and unfortunately that isn't the case. So when I saw this reference to government in the Christmas readings, actually, about Isaiah, I looked it up, and I think there's some interesting points to say about Christ's government, Christ's idea of what government is. So if we could read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. That phrase, folks, there in chapter 6, government, the government shall be upon his shoulder. This is referring, of course, to Christ, that Christ will be born and the government will be on his shoulder. That reference to government isn't a spiritual kingdom. It's government the way we talk about government. It's government, the Hebrew word's government for governing the affairs of society. Okay, it's not a spiritual kingdom. And this phrase talks about government being born on Christ's shoulder. Okay, on Christ's shoulder. The phrase is actually in Hebrew that it's like an oxen bearing a burden on his shoulders. Okay, you imagine lifting a boulder and putting it onto your shoulder and carrying that burden. That's the use of this shall be upon his shoulder. It's a strange reference, isn't it, that the government of the land will be upon Christ's shoulders, isn't it? It's as if it's a burden. That's the head of the government, okay? Now, we can look at that in two ways as Christians. We can look at that as a Christ's rule on earth when he comes back again, okay? But one of the references, and most of the commentators say, this also relates to Christ's rule on earth now, because that sense that it's a burden. It's a burden on Christ. What that really means is to govern society properly now, it's a burden on Christ. Now, you see, if you're in Kenya, you can understand that, for society is a mess. Society is full of people suffering, principally children suffering, and principally widows suffering, and it's a mess. And if you said to a human, go and fix that, you'd be lost. It's so complex, the problems are so deep, they're so generational, people are lost, and lost for years, lost in sin, lost in poverty, lost in hopelessness, no aspiration, no confidence. So to fix that, I can understand why Christ, wanting to fix the affairs of Kenya, wanting to fix the affairs in Northern Ireland, that it's a burden on him. I may be not explaining that right, but for Christ to fix society, it's a burden on him. John MacArthur writes a bit about this passage, and he says the secret of how Christ wants government to act. You know, government's been given a duty by God and Scripture to look after society, for law and order, for health, for well-being. You imagine Christ as our Prime Minister. You imagine Christ as the First Minister of Northern Ireland. The first thing of interest there is ministers over here like to lead. They like to be in the front. They like to be in the limelight, don't they? I'm sure you're thinking of numerous personalities there. Isn't it interesting? Christ isn't like that. He bears the burden from below. Isn't that interesting? He's the leader of the government. He bears the burden from below. He bears the burden of society. John MacArthur says that those four names of Christ, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, this is what they mean. Wonderful Counselor means there's no confusion. Christ, if Christ reigned on earth, there's no confusion. People aren't uncertain. They don't have anxiety. They rely on the Wonderful Counselor, who is Christ. He is Mighty God. John MacArthur said that means there's no chaos. There's no chaos in society. They trust God as an everlasting, as a wonderful, mighty God who's all-powerful, all-knowing. Everlasting Father, according to John MacArthur, means there's no complexity, means life isn't complex. You see those children growing up in Kenya, you'll hear from them now. Life's complicated. See, if you have no money, if you have nobody to support you, life's complicated, it's awkward, it's hard to do things. Things that we do easily, they can't do. I was just thinking the other day, when teams go off to Kenya, and God willing, there'll be a small team go this year, there's a list goes out with them of all they need to get, okay, from anti-malarials, vaccines, other vaccines this year, which might be a laugh, but other vaccines, clothes, deodorant, you know, shoes, all stuff. If you said to young boys in Kenya that you need it before you went anywhere, they couldn't go. That would just be it, for they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford it. When we took those two young lads up Kilimanjaro and we got them kit, gear to go up for the winter and shoes and things, I went in the car with them back to the airport, and they sold every bit of that clothing in the car back to the airport, including their bag. They sold every bit of it because they said to me, we're going back home with nothing, and we have nothing, so we need some money. That was a bit of a revelation to me, do you know, the depth of complexity in their life that they needed money, did nothing. So you come back home to nothing. It's hard for us to understand that, isn't it? All the more reasons why Christ bearing the responsibility for that is a burden. He is the Prince of Peace. John MacArthur said that means there's no conflict in society. No conflict in society. There are no hassles, there's no burdens. Christ, they rely on Christ, the Prince of Peace. The work VISPA does in Kenya, folks, is to try and instill that rule of Christ for all those children, do you know, to give certainty, to give confidence, to give assurance that if they give their life to Christ and the practical and physical support that spiritually and materially brings, that then they can have a life, they can have a life. That passage goes on in chapter 7 to say that, you know, when Christ's kingdom is established, and I think that's here on earth as well as when Christ comes back again. Christ desires that to be with justice and with righteousness. That means, folks, righteousness, of course, is the holiness of God, and that we're called to be holy in all we do. Justice, and that word means that we must campaign for a just society. That means that what we have, we should want others to have. That's justice, not social justice. We shouldn't be content if we know there's others around the world that do not have what we have. And that burden of Christ, we should carry it. Christ, I think, asks us to carry it. Now, we can't carry what Christ carries. Of course we can't. He asks us to do our bit. I do believe that. And that might be in Kenya. It might be somebody down the road. What burdens can we ease today with a conversation, with a phone call, with a friendly visit, with a cup of tea? What burdens can we ease with the people around us? Can you flick the slides on, John? That's Helen. Is that still there? That's Helen and her family, folks. What Friends of ISPA do here, what you do, is to support the work of Helen and George. This year's been, 2 years have been very tough, but God has blessed them. I would say these past 2 years in Kenya have been the most productive 2 years. because there was nowhere else to go but to the Lord. Do you understand? Sometimes we rely too much on our own efforts. There's nowhere else to go with but to the Lord. Later on, Tommy. Work we've done the past 2 years. This is a new work. James 1:27 says we have to look after the orphan and the widow. We did a wee tour around. This is where the school is. It's a rural area. So it's stretched out, and there's hundreds of these wee mud huts. And they were all damaged in the flood. There were hundreds of homes damaged in the flood. So last year, we were able to build 22 of these homes. And this is a new work. And I would love this year if we could continue it. But I'll talk about trying to juggle some of the other things and this bit. But that's a mud hut, which has been painted up nicely. That's that man there, his wife's dead. He supports those 5 children in that home. Most homes you go to in Kenya when there's a widow, it's usually a widow, they're looking after between 5 and 8 children in a house that size. But I'd love this year that we're able to maybe build another 20 homes right there, because it's a real, home's a precious thing. I love home. I'm sure you love home. Even lockdown, it was great you could get into a home which is a loving home. You see home out there, it's precious. And to repair a home, I think, is a godly thing. I think it's a good thing. I think it's of the Lord. So just pray for that. That's a new work, but I hope we can carry that on this year. Thanks, Tommy. That's the mud hut before it. It's obviously painted. Not everybody can paint them. The bulk of the houses will stay like that, but sometimes if a wee bit extra money and they paint them. Thanks, Tommy. Just the school's been blessed this year. That's the nursery, as you know. And I've thought, in this preparing for today, you know, it's more of the same. I'm repeating myself again, but that's what the work VISPA does, except there's new children each year, you know. So into that nursery each year, we'll have 20 new children. And that's new children that are given a big meal every day and access to medication. And their parents are grateful, and it gets them into a wee bit of structure and a wee bit of society. A lot of the children in that area do not go to school, so getting them into school, and that's Madam Pamela, who many of you know, godly lady, and their life's full of joy in that classroom when you get in it, full of singing, full of happiness. And a meal, that's a meal I've photographed there, a good meal they get every day. This was a blessing. This is the new primary school that was built and finished, and then lockdown came. But you'll notice two things there. This is the providence of God, I believe. We designed that school to make it as big. The classrooms are massive. They're very, very big. And we built those desks so it would be a bit more sustainable for their bit roughened desks. And they're single desks, as you know, because they think you can be educated more when you're not bumping your shoulder or trying to hit the boy in the knee beside you. Lockdown came. And lockdown came at VISPA. A lot of people moved away, for you couldn't work. So a lot of them moved to maybe bigger cities or moved back home where they knew they could work without being caught by the police. So we lost about 100 pupils. The danger of that is those pupils could come back again, but 100 pupils moved. The government came then to Helen and asked, we've visited your school, we see the big, big classrooms and the individual chairs. Could we bring students to your school? Because it's such a good reputation for godliness, Christ-centered, but also a good academic standard. So about around 100 government pupils came to the school with fees, okay, with fees, which is a wonderful thing. Our goal at VISPA is eventually 50% of the pupils would be fee-paying and 50% would be non-fee-paying. That's impossible in Kenya, to be honest, because even the 50% that can pay fees, they often can't pay them. Do you know, they'll run out of money. They'll just be too difficult. And people say at home to me, you should be a bit harder on that. And then you go out and you visit the homes they're coming from. It's very hard to be hard for live nothing. And the best people to manage that, incidentally, is Helen, for she knows the community and she knows what's fair and what isn't fair. But the Lord's dealt with that. There's been some money come in, which is good for the long-term planning of the school. This in high school this year, we're doing a wee project with 12 pupils from local schools, Ballymena Academy, Cambridge House, Cullibaghy, St. Pat's, Royal School Armagh, and Macrofelt High. 2 pupils from each, talking to 12 pupils from VISPA, final year pupils. We're doing Zoom calls, one's in the second session's on Friday, just to get to know each other, talk to each other, share what's come, and it's great to hear them. It's great to hear 2 big boys from Cullibaghy telling jokes to boys in Kenya, and the boys in Kenya laughing their head off. And I asked the boys in Kenya after, do you like the jokes? He says, we did, but we didn't understand them. But they were having a great laugh. That's just, you know, letting those children know that they belong, you know, they're part of something. Do you know what I mean? They're not isolated. So I'm going to share, Tommy's got to meet Siobhan here and Charles. We're to hear Charles' story. Charles is 23, and he's at last year at school, 23. Because Charles doesn't say it here, but he'd have no money. He then maybe went to first year and had to then take 2 years off and work. Then he got money, got back, and then he's able to get sponsored and help through school, but he's 23.
My name is Uhuru Siobhan Atieno. I'm 19 years of age. I'm in Form 4, preparing to sit for my national examinations next month. I am a total orphan, and I stay with my guardian at Alendu. During school days, I stay at the girls' dormitory. I joined VISPA when I was a toddler in nursery school, up to now that I'm preparing to sit for my examinations. A challenge that I face is peer influence. Most of my peers engage in negative peer influence that lead to pregnancy. For me, I've been able to overcome this challenge since I get counsel from the director and from my teachers. VISPA has given me a home and has provided for me through catering for my school fees. The Lord has given me life, and the Lord has also given me courage and strength that helps me to overcome challenges that I may face. My ambitions for the future is that I want to get a good grade and proceed to the university and study medicine so that I can help to save life and be a role model in the society. A Bible verse is from Psalms chapter 121 verse 1. It says, I look in the mountains, where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Thank you. Bye.
Hello friends, my name is Charles Otieno. I'm 23 years old. I'm in Form 4 preparing to sit for my exams coming next month. I'm a total orphan. I have been staying at VISPA Center since I joined Form 1 2017. Most of my peers engage in drug abuse, which is a big challenge to me. Through prayers and counseling from our director and the teachers has supported me, and I've been able to stay away from such bad company and also not to engage in any drug-related offenses. VISPA has given me a home and education, and now I'm hopeful I will make something out of my life. The Lord has given me life and good health, and even now that I'm going to sit for my exams, I am hopeful that I will get good grades through His help. I want to do a technical course after high school, that is electrical engineering, and I hope to change the life of others in the future. As I come to the end, as I finish, I want to encourage with the Bible in the book of Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10, which says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to shun evil and is understanding. Thank you. Goodbye.
See the challenges there. Siobhan mentions pregnancy. This lockdown, there was an awful lot of teenagers getting pregnant in Kenya, and in that area, what happens is young girls about 16, they're befriended by young boys about 25, 24. They have no money in the house. They befriend them, maybe give them a wee bit of money, tell them they're going to marry them. They give the money into home. They think this is a good thing. They become pregnant, and then they're left. And then they feel ashamed. They feel shunned. They withdraw from society, and you don't see them again. Helen's actually done a lot of work going to those girls, speaking to them, bringing them back out again, giving them a chance, telling them about the Lord, the forgiveness of the Lord. You know, what Helen does with all these children, folks, what we do when we go over, it's gospel-centered. You always know that they have enough problems in their life. that social help, money, will not help them really. It's a necessary thing, but what they need is Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, a new life of Christ, and only that. You saw Charles there, the amount of pressures in young boys with poverty, the amount of mental anxiety and temptation to escape it all through drugs, to escape it all through drink, is massive. I'm glad he's actually honest to share that, because we know when we're out there, that's what they share with you. They smoke an old thing and they drink a thing, homemade beer, that would probably kill us. They drink it in barrels, and it would be awful old stuff. But you think if you're living in a life of poverty, a life of hopelessness, I can understand young boys wanting to do that to escape out of it. And all the more reason that they need more than that. They're worth more than that. There's hundreds of children like Siobhan and Charles, hundreds of them, and VISPA's helping them. University this year, folks, we have 69 students going through university. And VISPA's not just about education, but you see, for those young people to get out of that cycle of poverty, getting a job, getting paying their way in life is the key. And there's 16 at university. Now, 26 of those are girls, which is 37%. If you'll remember, when the girls' dormitory was built in 2014, there's only maybe one girl a year getting to college. The fact now there's 26 in 1 year is fantastic. And that's because they got to the girls' dormitory, they're given a wee bit of security, they're given a wee bit of a culture of learning, they're given a bit of freedom. Those young girls, if they were at home, just have to work, look after younger children, bring in money. It's too much of a burden to bear for them, and they can't study. They're studying now. And I told you before, the boys get a bit thick at that, do you know? Because they think that's their places they're taking, but it's not. It's just fair. It's just a fair system. Just like you see two students at university, I want you to see if you can notice any difference between the these children and the children we spoke to earlier. If you can flick that on, Tommy.
Hello, my name is Winnie Aguru. I am 23 years old. I live in Rabur with my elder sister. I am a partial orphan. My father passed on in 2011 when I was in standard 6. I joined Mr. Emmanuel in 2014 when I was in Form 1, and I secured sponsorship, which took me through my high school until I sat for my KCSE in 2018. Attained a mini grade of C+, where I joined Jaramogi Oginga Odinga University of Science and Technology, pursuing a course in Bachelor of Education, Arts with IT, majorly in Mathematics and Business Studies. I am currently in my third year, semester 1. At the university, negative peer influence has been a challenge since the university comprises of students from different social backgrounds. Personally, I have been able to majorly focus on the important reason why I joined campus, which is to study and better my future. The virtues that were imparted on me at VISPA, Emmanuel, has also helped to keep away any form of negative influence. VISPA Emmanuel has played a big role in my academics by financing my education, and this has enabled me to attend all my lectures and sit for my exams without any problem. The Lord has always been there for me by directing me in the right path to follow. This has always been my reason to believe in prayers and abstain from immoral activities like drug abuse, which is a major challenge in the university. My main ambition upon completion of my course is to give back to the society by helping those who are in need, just as I was helped, and impact the life of students so that they can also work hard to achieve their dreams. Thank you very much, and may God bless.
Hello, my name is Ivan Somondi. I'm 23 years old. My home place is in Seme, but I'm staying with my grandmom at Orongo. I'm a partial orphan. I joined VISPA in 2015 in Form 1, and I thank God that even though initially there were financial challenges, but I managed to go up to my final year in the year 2018 through the scholarship that I was offered, and I was able to score a mini grade of B-, that is 56 points, and this one enabled me to join Egerton University, and right now I'm taking a course, Bachelor of Science, majoring mainly in biochemistry. I'm in my third year, semester one. I joined university in the year 2019. One major challenge that I've been facing is that my grandmother has been sick, and so I tend to take much time attending to her back in the hospital, and so I don't get a lot of time for my studies and my academic work. But I thank God that I have overcome this challenge, that through my prayers and the treatment she has been undergoing, she's improved and she's doing well. I really want to thank VISPA for the supportive work that they have been offering to me. It has played a great role in my life. Through the scholarship, I have been able to manage it in my academic life and in my studies. And also VISPA being a Christian school, it has nurtured me spiritually and it has helped me to advance in my Christian life, being a role model in the society. I also want to thank God that this far He has led me and He has helped me to overcome some of the challenges in my life, and so some of the problems in regard to my financial, social, and even my spiritual life. What I'm really aspiring for when I finish is that I'm desiring that I may be a research scientist, majoring mainly in the laboratory work, so that I may be of an importance to the society. God bless you all.
Do you see a wee bit of confidence in those children, you know, a wee bit of growth, a wee bit of belief? VISPA, they have an alumni organisation, past students of VISPA, and there's about 70 in that now that have come through college, and they meet. And you also note there that there's a genuine desire, that's not just words, they do come back to VISPA and back into society and try and help however they can. They'll teach in the school. They could get more money elsewhere, but they come back to VISPA and they teach and they help. And it's wonderful to see. This year, folks, every year, the needs out there are just... They're never ending, really. I'd love to do more home building out there, and every year we always say that university programme, it grows, because young people, the rules we have, it's people that just cannot afford it. Come, there's others can afford it, but those that cannot afford it. So you get people who are aspirational, and they'll come, and we support VISPA students, and we also support very, very poor students from the area who are not at VISPA. Have nowhere else to go if they come, we'll support them if we can. But it's hard juggling those things a wee bit, you know. For sometimes you think it's either one or the other. But we sometimes, when we take on extra commitments, feeling just as I read in Isaiah there, that we feel that's Christ's burden. We feel it's Christ's burden. And Christ, if it's Christ's burden, He is faithful. And He's been faithful these past 2 years. There's been, as I said before, more work done, more children there. And Christ, and through His church, have provided. And it's been wonderful to see the faithfulness of God. God doing things that amazes the society around Him. God taking children that are hopeless and giving them hope, giving them life, giving them confidence. That community, you know, would be lacking a wee bit in confidence just because they're brought up with very little. And get them to stand on their own 2 feet and confident in God. Confident in God is a wonderful thing. And to give back then to society, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see. Thank you all for your support again. Please pray. You see those students who are at college. You see those widows. If you can remember to pray for them, they still go through great struggles. You know, yes, they're blessed in some ways, but they're still great struggles. Materially, emotionally, some go through great difficulties and great stresses too, and it affects them. Just please remember to pray for them, and thank you again for your faithfulness. Last year, we put up a playground. Stephen and Ian and Trevor put up a playground, and we'll just finish in a wee. I hope there's no health and safety men here, but we'll show that next one, Tommy. Now, that was tested by a couple of big boys first. So we didn't let them do that first. So, folks, thank you for your time. Thank you, William and Session, for your support. And we'd maybe just pray. Is that okay? Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word does not return unto you, Lord, void. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness to those in society who cry out to you. And you have said you will be faithful to the widow, you will be faithful to the orphan. Lord, I pray just for that society out there. I pray for Helen and George and all the trustees of ISPA. You'd give them strength, daily strength, inspiration, comfort of your presence, the comfort of your spirit, the guidance of you as a wonderful counselor, to just keep going, keep reaching out, Lord. Thank you that they don't sit still and don't think this is enough. If there's need there, they go in faith. And thank you, Lord, that you meet that need. I praise you, Lord, you meet that need. Thank you for the people here in this church, Lord, for their faithfulness, for their support, for their love, for their kindness, their generosity, their prayers. I pray you'd bless them, Lord. You've said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I pray you'd bless this church, bless those, and may they know your presence. May they know your presence and their own challenges in their lives, and their own difficulties and their own complexities. I pray you'd be in them. You'd speak into every situation, Lord. I pray for this future year. Lord, I pray we would be able to build 22 homes again. I pray more students would be able to get to college. I pray, Lord, that every child would know you, would know Christ personally, would know them when they lie down in bed, wherever that bed is and whatever state it is. Lord, I pray that they would know you, Lord. And I pray just as you've always been, Lord, I pray you'd be faithful to that community and glorify your name in it. Thank you, Father, and just give us grateful hearts. Give us hearts that will give back to society. Help us, give us hearts that see the best than that you've given us. Give us optimism. Give us hope, I pray. And help us share that with others around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.